Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blake and Sal Show with Mark, celebrating its 10-year anniversary, dominating the podcast world. Now sit back and relax, and let's welcome your host, Blake and Sal.
Hey, chingity ching, it's Dominic the donkey, chingity ching, he's a Christmas donkey, la la la
She can't hang.
la 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 la.
Hello and welcome to a special Christmas week edition of the Blake's House from Mark, episode number 488. I'm your host, Blake, and I decided to bring back my Disney Christmas background from last year because, well, it's the only Christmas background I had, and I didn't feel like looking for a new one. I'm going to bring on, first of all, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark, is not here this week. He's out of town. This is we're banking this episode, so you'll know why. You know why if you know why. Let's actually bring on my actual co-host, the host of the Moses tonight. The biggest on podcasting, Sal. How you doing?
Feeling a little gassy, I'm not gonna lie, but I'm
Fair
doing
enough.
All right.
Merry Christmas on that one. Christmas gas. There you go. By the way, I don't say this is that was the fastest we've ever done a show where now I know a clip is going on my personal Instagram page. That was the fastest that's ever happened. All year.
You're welcome.
Like that was absolutely incredible. So open up the show with that. So well, actually, before we get to our people who we have on the call, because the song's really, really short, what are we opening up the show with, Sal? Because apparently three of us enjoyed it, one of us did not.
For those who can hang, it's our staple Christmas song here on the show, Lou Monte's Dominic the Donkey.
What's funny about it is like you can tell who's from Jersey and who is not just by the reaction when the music hit. Oh man. All right. Let's actually bring on the people we have on the call. First of all, coming in from the office, my beautiful wife, who was modeling now and being an influencer on Instagram, apparently.
I'm on my own against the wall. The pressure's building, but no, I will never fall. Instead of crying, they hear me roar. And now I see that I'm way better than before. I never needed you at all. And I fall down, I'ma watch you fall down. I'm living large now. I never needed you at all. And I fall down, I'ma watch you fall down. I'm living large now. I never needed you at all.
My Mrs. Claus. Mandy, welcome to the show.
Merry Christmas, bitches!
There it is.
There it is.
There's all year to do that. All year. Okay. And our other guest today, who I honestly forgot what we were doing until like 15 minutes before he came on the call because I asked him like a month and a half ago to be on the show. People do a plan of things in advance. The people are coming on, forget what they're doing. Let's bring on Mike. Welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm. Dude, thanks for having me again, guys. In my defense for forgetting, it is a long time of year to be around children, so I deserve a little
and
break on that.
It's newlywed brain.
That too.
It is. I will accept that.
Oh, yeah, this is the first time you've been on the show since you've been married. It's the first time you've been on the show. There you go.
I believe so, actually.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
I don't think there's any preseason stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first time, so there you go. So I just want to say there will be some. We already have some on. There you go, showing up the room. We do have some hockey stuff planned for 2024. Just so you're aware, Mike. So you will be contacted about.
Of course, that. You know I'm there.
Yeah, we have me and Sal have already been talking about some plans we have for early 2024. So, all right. So we're gonna do things a little out of order today. We're actually gonna do plugs and everything before the commercial break because I have a game board I have to get loaded up.
Yes.
So, what to do this help support the show and help you can find the show and probably work on at theobligatouch.com, Sal.
Yeah, you can buy our shirts, stickers, hoodies, fermented cheese and more from our Tee Public store. I really couldn't think of anything. Click on the Tee Public link on our website or go to Tee Public and search the Blake and Sal show.
That is a new one. It's absolutely a new one. But not only is actually available.
Although you can put a sticker on a piece of fermented cheese.
Why would you do that? That would ruin the cheese.
I don't know. That's what you would say.
Maybe the wrapping around the cheese.
Much better. Much better.
Yeah.
As always, go pick up Mandy's book. And children's book, I Know I Am, available right now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at Orange Cup Publishing, available in English and Spanish, and hopefully returning in 2024. The Mandy Show. Hopefully returning in 2024 on all podcasting platforms. And because it cracks up, it cracked up Jason Powell when we did this and we promoted the children's book when he was on.
Fuck them kids.
Oh, I even forgot. My guy's been here since we updated the soundboard.
Oh, right. Fuck them kids.
That was amazing. I forgot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sal has a catchphrase now.
I'm not associated by this catchphrase in any way, shape, or form, in case any parents in my school district are listening. I do not know this gentleman.
Trust me, they are not listening.
And if you would like to book me to read in your classroom, please note that Sal will not be there.
That's good. That makes it a lot more child friendly. Okay, as long as we don't have any catchphrases, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, well, let's go to break. We'll come right back because I gotta get the game board up. So, all right, we're back. And for those who don't know, this is our fourth edition of Who Wants to Be a Bitcoin Millionaire, Sal's favorite game in the entire world I've ever done on the show. So, and also Sal, based on your kind of complaining last year, I did fix the music beds and everything on this game this time.
Okay.
And I won't be jumping around. Everything's right here on the game board this time. So
is it going to start giving us premature answers like last year?
No, I double checked things literally an hour ago. So we're good. Okay. whatever. There's the game board. So here's what's going to happen. We only have Mark's not here. Dad's not here. And I honestly could not find anybody available tonight to come on the show to take a spot. I could not find anybody. We're just going to go with Sal being host and Mandy being the one lifeline, Michael be in the hot seat, and we'll go from there. Okay?
Okay.
Also, we're dropping the 50-50s on this main board, but the 50-50 is not going to be on the board until we get past the $30,000 question because no one ever uses it anyway, so why bother to waste my time putting it on the board? Why bother? It really is a waste of my time.
Indeed.
So, Sal, what, want me to hit the thing we get to the first question right off the bat?
Sure.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Sal. I forgot something. I forgot to tell you something. Mike's not in the hot seat today.
Oh? Then who is?
The cat.
You're in the hot seat today, Sal.
Me?
You!
Me! Impossible!
No, it's completely possible. You know why? I've been planning this for a year.
Is that why you wouldn't let me see the questions and answers?
Actually, you never see the questions and answers. But that's why I've been telling you, Mike's in the hot seat for the last 2 months. Everyone's been onboarded, including Dad, for the last 2 months, and I've been planning this for a year.
I feel duped.
Then it was a success.
Exactly.
So, by the way, these two are the only people not knowing. People that I invited on also knew about this and loved the concept. They just couldn't do the show.
Everybody was in for conning you.
Yeah. I thought it was amazing that I pulled this off.
It doesn't. I'm usually not someone that gets surprised very often.
I did good on this one.
Yeah, you did.
So instead of you hosting, Mandy will be taking your the host seat today.
Yay.
And you'll be in the hot seat. Mike will be the your lifeline pretty much should be helping you until you get to 32,000 like we usually do.
Okay.
And pretty much Mandy will be here. She can help you whenever you want to, because it doesn't really matter. The rules are broken. Everything's broken anyway, because we changed everything anyway. So But let's start. Let's actually get started this time, honey, for real.
Okay. Which New Jersey-born AEW wrestler has stated he likes Blake more than Sal? Anthony Bowens, Orange Cassidy, Jay Lethal, or Layla Hirsch?
Okay. I know this one. It was in our intro for the longest time. Final answer, Jay Lethal.
Ding, ding. By the way, so yeah, like, the Jay Lethal, I did interview Jay Lethal on the show, just me and him. And when I asked him to do an intro for the show, he's like, well, Sal's not here, so I like you more. That's actually in the intro, right before the show.
The origin story.
It's one, it's one of the best things ever. It cracks me up every time. By the way, all four of these people here are from Jersey. So,
indeed.
There you go. So I made sure of that. I actually see Jersey represent. Yeah. So, honey, go.
All right. What team was the only team to only win one Stanley Cup between 1995 and 2003? New Jersey Devils, Colorado Avalanche, Detroit Red Wings, or Dallas Stars?
Okay. I have a feeling.
Mike's like, I know this. You can help him whatever you want, like, you really can.
Well, I'm so useful. I know it's not the Devils. Not for sure. Detroit, I want to say, won them before 95. Could be wrong.
What was in the crease?
He's giving you the answer. He's literally giving you the answer.
The foot was in the crease.
Dallas?
How do you want to ask?
Final answer.
Okay, you cannot do all of this. That's my job.
Yay.
So, for those who are wondering, Devils won 95, 2003. Detroit won 97, 98, 2002. Wow. Colorado won 96, 2001. And Dallas won 99. Those are all the teams that won the cup in that range. That's it. These four teams.
I didn't realize Detroit won so many then.
Yeah, they went back to back 97, 98 in sweeps. In sweeps, by the way, 98, 97, 98.
Oh, by the way, a sweep in 95.
Yes, exactly. By the way, the reference Mike was making was put was in the crease. That was the game-winning goal in Game Six in well, the double overtime,
where the with that terrible rule for that year, like that year only.
Yeah, that goal. Yes. They reviewed it afterwards. It was not supposed to be a goal, and they ended up keeping it anyway. It was chaotic. Mm-hmm.
I believe it was. Wasn't it Jason Arnett that scored that goal too?
No, that was not Jason Arnett. It was Brett Hull.
Oh, Hall. It was Hall. Okay.
Yes, and Arnott won it for the Devils in 2000.
Okay. I know. I think he might have been on that Dallas team, too.
This is why I don't remember anything. I remember all this shit from the late 90s, early 2000s.
How the fuck do you remember that, but you can't remember to get milk at the store?
Yeah, you doofus.
My wife this week.
All right. For $400, what song from South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, was nominated for an Academy Award in 2000? Uncle Fucka, Blame Canada, Kyle's Mom's a Bitch, That's Not Very Nice, She's Dead, and Mountain Town.
Wow, that took a turn. Okay, I want to say it's Blame Canada.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, final answer. Yay.
Blame Canada was nominated for Academy Award and performed by Robin Williams at the Academy Awards. I remember the performance. It was insane. I did not know, by the way. I did look this up. I looked this up and I did the entry key that it lost to You'll Be in My Heart by Phil Collins from Tarzan. That it lost.
Oh. Fuck that movie.
So, but yeah, Blame Canada. That performance, like, that one of those performances, like, I'm surprised it didn't come up on TikTok now, but how insane that performance was.
All right, for $500, what songs did Elton John rewrite?
Should be songs. Sorry, should just be songs. Sorry about that.
For $500, what song did Elton John rewrite and release in 1997 that was more successful than the original? Candle in the Wind, Tiny Dancer, Your Song, or Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter's?
Give me a hint, that is literally the only song here that was actually re-released. The only one.
I want to say Candle in the Wind. Final answer?
Is it your final answer?
Yeah, because that's when What's Your Face died. And then he rewrote it. Yeah. Yay.
What's Your Face is Princess Diana.
Yes, Princess Diana. That's right.
So
that's the one.
The Wind, by the way, the original. I did not know this. I actually looked this up today. I didn't even know this information until today. Candle in the Wind was originally in 1973, the original one.
Oh.
Didn't know that old of a song. Did not know that. Dedicated to Marilyn Monroe. But it was never released as a single in the United States. It was never released here as a single.
Oh, okay.
But Candle in the Wind 97 went to number one in the U.S. and in multiple countries, and apparently ranked as the number two most selling individual single, the CD singles back in the 90s, those British singles. It's the second highest bought one of those ever at 33 million copies of the single.
Yeah. Yeah, that I remember because I want to say proceeds went to one of her charities.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did not know that the original was so old, though. I did not realize that.
Yeah, that I didn't know either, actually.
Yeah, so there you go.
Also, wonderful. Why the hell is my Princess Diana Beanie Baby not worth $1 million? Like I was promised.
That's a really good question.
Because too many people have it.
That's why. People bought it.
All right. So for $1,000, what is...
Toxic final answer.
Okay.
Honey, here's the question for people that are listening and not watching.
Oh, sorry. What is the only song Britney Spears won a Grammy Award for? Overprotected, Oops, I Did It Again, Baby One More Time, or Sal's final answer, Toxic?
I had a feeling Sal wasn't going to need a lifeline for this one.
Yeah. Just I also a feeling don't think I had. He would have been helpful for that one.
No.
I wrote this question down because I literally was like, I need to put a Britney question in the first five questions. I have to put a Britney question here. So I'm like,
should have been the $500 for him.
Oh, well, like, I did it. I like, so I looked it up. I'm like, okay, the Grammy Awards. Like, what did she do? She won one Grammy. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a perfect question. Perfect.
There you go.
Unintentional. Like, perfect question. All right.
So all right.
The next part of the round. All right, take a breath. And let's continue on.
For $2,000, who was the last wrestler to pin The Rock on Monday Night Raw? Is it Triple H, Christian, Booker T, or The Hurricane?
Can I take my $1,000 and can I take my $1,000 and roll it into a CD?
Did you hear me, Sal?
What?
Stand back. There's an answer here somewhere.
Oh, well, hold on. Something just came to me. I'm going to say The Hurricane, final answer.
I don't know how you came up with that, but are you sure that's your final answer?
I'm as sure as Superstorm Sandy was.
Oh, God damn.
Okay, wait, and my dead mom joke was bad?
honey, the rule is you're allowed to make dead mom jokes. The two of them are allowed to make Superstorm Sandy jokes. And we're excellent. Logic. If you live through it, you can make the joke.
Got it. Okay, cool.
Woo-hoo. So, for those who don't remember this, I mean, I remember this because it always pops up all the damn time on, like, WWE's, like, Instagram page. Like, look what happened! Like, it always pops up all the time, so I've been saving this question for, like, four games. So, for those who don't remember, back before WrestleMania 19, I want to say that it was 2003, The Rock and Hurricane had a weird little mini-feud on Raw for some reason.
Mini-feud? As you do.
And it was supposed to be Rock versus Booker T on Raw. Rock literally said, no, I want to face the Hurricane. Instead, And Hurricane pinned the Rock because of Stone Cold Steve Austin interfering. I literally rewatched it today to remind myself how it ended. I remember Hurricane winning, but I forgot how it ended.
Nice.
Oh, the randomness of Raw back then. So random. Oh my God. So, all right.
All right. For $4,000, what musical artists had the most number one songs on TRL between 1998 and 2002? NSYNC, Britney Spears, the best boy band in the world, the Backstreet Boys, or Eminem?
Okay, so I'm already eliminating the right side.
Okay.
And I have a feeling, because Mandy is hosting, that the answer is not the Backstreet Boys. And I'm going to say NSYNC, final answer.
It is your final answer, even though this is clearly rigged and my husband should not have put this question on the board and we will have to talk about this later.
Yes, because I would like to see him be murdered.
It's like he's going to say bye, bye, bye.
Nice. Nice, Mike. Nice.
So, honey, remember we were sitting at Panera like 2 months ago and I asked you, when do you think TRL like properly ended? And you said around 2002.
Wait,
that's
did
why
I
was asking that question. This is why I was asking you that question.
So the answer, final results, by the way. So I did look this up and did a little math to make sure I was right on this. Eminem, by the way, only had 5 number one songs in TRL history. Britney had 9. Sorry, Britney had 10. I'm sorry, Britney had 10. The Backstreet Boys only had 9.
What?
And then NSYNC had 12.
What?
And even if you take out, like, you take out the song they did with Gloria Estefan, they still had 11. Without Gloria Estefan. Take that out.
No, I forgot about that song.
I don't know where you're getting your information from.
The TRL Wikipedia page.
But per MTV, Backstreet Boys had a whopping 10 different videos hit number one on TRL. That's per MTV.
And NSYNC still had 12.
Yes, but you still did not give my boys their flowers.
Okay, fine. But the answer still stands. The answer is still correct.
And also let it be known that Shape of My Heart has the most ever days at number one.
That is true. Zero. That's 100% true. That is 100% true. But you know what's funny, by the way, about looking this up? Was if you go to 98, it literally rotates back and forth. I, by the way, I didn't count it like if it went back and forth. It was every individual song. But like it was very, very funny to look at like the charts. It was like every week it was the Backstreet Boys and Sync. Backstreet Boys and Sync for like the first time. Like,
I remember that, actually.
It was very, very funny. All right.
Can I also just say that when NSYNC beats Backstreet Boys, that ruined my whole night? All right, next. For $8,000, what is the highest grossing movie based on a Saturday Night Live skit? Is it the Blues Brothers, I'm assuming that's supposed to be?
There was a typo in here somewhere.
Shocking. Wayne's World, Coneheads, or A Night at the Roxbury?
Hmm.
Oh, by the way, that has nothing to do with the answer. I just wanted to do that. I don't know the answer. I just wanted to.
I love the Coneheads.
It's not as difficult as you think it is, Sal. It really is not as difficult.
I was going to say, I want to say Wayne's World because that seems to be the obvious answer.
Remember what you said to John? Remember when you said to John a couple of years ago? Go with your gut.
Well, my gut says Coneheads, but I know that's not right. So I'm gonna say Wayne's World. Final answer.
Mike, but I see Mike agreeing with you down there.
I agree.
I got a mysterious text message too.
I was between the two also, but I think Wayne's World was just the bigger, more well known of the four. So that's why I'm kind of thinking on his same level as the.
All right.
As the lifeline.
So this is your final answer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So here we go. Coneheads, by the way, out of this category, Coneheads was the lowest grossing movie.
Oh, that was such a great movie.
I know, but when it comes to like grossing in the theaters, it was more of a hit probably out of the theaters because it goes to the world. which, by the way, made $183 million worldwide.
Oh my God, that's like $17 billion today.
Blues Brothers at number two.
Oh.
And because I didn't want to put
Roxbury.
Because I didn't want to put Wayne's World on here twice. Wayne's World 2 is actually number three.
Oh.
And then that is Roxbury and then Coneheads.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to put Wayne's World on the question twice.
That really would have screwed me up.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. I'm like, that would just be mean. That would just be flat out mean.
All right. For $16,000, what celebrity did John Cena lose to in a special New Year's Day episode of Raw?
Emphasis on the quotation marks, please.
Machine Gun Kelly, Kevin Federline, Shaq, or Seth Green?
You know this. I know you know this.
It's got to be Seth Green, right? No, I mean, Machine Gun Kelly.
Remember, the quotation marks is celebrity. Not actually celebrity, a celebrity. And the time.
Machine Gun Kelly. No, I'm wrong. Wait.
Sal, why would you know this? Why would you know this?
It's not Kevin Federline.
That's his final answer. Go.
Wait, when the hell was Kevin Federline on WWE programming?
Kevin Federline, I double checked this today because I was like, Kevin Federline beat John Cena on Raw.
What?
Year's Day with interference from Umaga.
I don't remember that at all.
I think most of WWE probably doesn't want to remember that at all.
Yeah, I'm so glad I picked that.
No,
yeah, me too.
I'm so glad you just happened to say that perfectly.
All right, for $32,000, this is your last question with Mike as a freebie.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, I mean, he's done so much. So.
He helped with the baseball question.
No, he did help me.
Yeah, true. What Big Bang Theory star made a cameo appearance to sing the Academy Award-winning song Man or Muppet with Walter in... God damn, you need a proofreader. In the 2011 movie The Muppets. Is it Johnny Galecki, Jim Parsons, Simon Helberg, or Raj?
It's got to be Jim Parsons, right?
I think. I agree.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, because everyone else isn't as popular. Like, who cares about the other people?
Final answer?
Yes, final answer. Yay!
Funny part is, the reason I thought of this is because I was in the car and this song came up on Disney, on the Disney station on CSXM. And I remember, like, oh yeah, Jim Parsons is in here, but he's not credited anywhere. It's only if he's in the movie. It's only if he's in the movie that you know this.
Right. It's a great song, too.
Yeah, won an Academy Award. So, all right. At this point, you're 50-50 back, by the way, now. Just so you're aware.
I'm very nervous.
As we get into the last portion of this game. And much like the real show, the first question is a tricky one on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
All right. Your $64,000 question is, what TV show lasted more seasons on television? Saved by the Bell, Good Morning Miss Bliss, Saved by the Bell, The New Class, or Saved by the Bell, The College Years?
Okay. I have a feeling it's not the original. And I really have a feeling it's not Good Morning, Miss Bliss. And I want to say, of the remaining two, I want to say The College Years had more seasons. But The New Class, I remember being on for a while. But The College Years had the original cast, but they were only there for a couple years. So I'm going to say The New Class. Final answer.
Okay.
Yes.
So The New Class, somehow, I didn't even know. I honestly did not know the show was on for so many years. I knew it was on longer than the original, but I did not know it was on for 7 years. I had no clue without that many years.
That's a long time.
It was on from 93 to 2000. I had no clue it was not that long. But Saved by the Bell original obviously was only 4 years. Ms. Bliss is actually the pilot season for Saved by the Bell. She's only on for 1 year. And College Quiz only lasted 1 year.
Oh.
And it was
so they all dropped out?
Well, it was the prime time, and they canceled it because no one was watching it.
Well, they all dropped out of college because the new class spent fucking forever in high school.
I remember watching a documentary about Saved by the Bell, and they brought up the college years failing because, and the excuse fans gave was that the original show was on syndication too much, and they didn't care about the sequel series because they could just watch the original one in syndication all day long.
I mean,
fair enough logic. Wrong.
Alrighty.
Or 100 question in here. How to throw a Disney 100 question here somewhere.
Or $125,000 in 1923. What was the first character Walt Disney created? Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, Snow White, Mickey, or Minnie?
Oswald. Final answer.
And that's correct.
For those who don't know, Oswald was made in 1923, and then he lost the rights to Universal Pictures. This question actually came up in the John year of this show because they traded the rights back for Al Michaels. That's a true story. That's a true story.
Okay.
And then Mickey was created in 28 because he just celebrated his birthday recently. So there you go.
Oswald gets no respect.
Now he does. He was in the front of the that Disney special they did for the anniversary. And he's
that's true.
Now. He's all in the video games now. He's everywhere now. He's in the parks now. So, like, it's a big deal now. But, yeah, I remember that from the John season. That threw a question through John off so much. So, all right.
All right. For $250,000, what song did the New York Mets use as their anthem during the 2000 playoff run, including a live performance before Game 3 of the World Series at Shea Stadium? Would that be the Baha Men, Who Let the Dogs Out, Fat Boy Slim, Right Here, Right Now, Daft Punk, One More Time, or DMX, Party Up, Up in Here?
Okay.
No, it's funny. I think your left line down there would know this because his brother was a Mets fan.
I was going to say, I think I'm going to use my lifeline.
Which one would you like to use? Would you like to ask me, Mike, or use your 50-50?
I'm definitely going to talk to Mike because I feel like he would know.
Just because my cat keeps meowing.
Dogs up our girl. Don't worry about it. Anyway, Mike, go ahead.
I want to say it's Daft Punk, but I could be totally wrong.
I feel like it wouldn't be DMX performing at the World Series.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Fatboy Slim, I don't feel like that's a very good answer. And the Baha Men is just a weird playoff song to have as an anthem.
Woof, 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 indeed.
Right, and Baha Men and DMX both like to bark, right? Because of dogs, so that seems too similar. I'm grasping at straws here.
That strangely makes sense.
So, now I'll give you a tiny hint that Z100 used this song to parody it. I can't tell you the name of the song, but it'll give away the title. But Z100 uses the parody it for the longest time during this playoff run. And think about what song makes more sense to parody out of the songs we're talking about when it comes to the Mets.
We'll let the dogs out?
Final answer!
We'll let the Mets out? Who let the...
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Because I actually knew this one.
Oh, really? What? Why would they use that as a fucking song?
I was a Mets fan this year. That's why I remember this. I remember this chaos. And the only reason I even pop back in my brain is because Derek Jeter makes fun of it in his documentary. In that documentary, he makes fun of this. Because he thinks it was so ridiculous that they had this performance against the World Series.
That's just so random.
But I remember Who Let the Mutts Out more than anything else, because they hit the 100 for the entire playoff run. Oh, it's so terrible. So, all right.
All right. You have used one of your three lifelines.
And if I could figure out how to mark it off, I would, but I don't think I can.
So you have me and 50-50 left, just so you know.
Yeah, okay.
So for half $1 million, what Sherman Brothers classic is widely known as Walt Disney's favorite song? Jesus Christ, Blake.
In the future, when we're not hosting, I'll make sure I send the game board to you to double check things.
Thank you.
The only reason I didn't send it to you is because you were hosting.
Okay, your options are It's a Small World, There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, Let's Get Together, or Feed the Birds.
I want to say It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. No, it's Feed the Birds. No, it's Feed Livy. Yes, Feed the Birds. Feed Livy. Final answer.
With absolutely no help at all, Feed the Birds is his final answer.
Yes.
And it is correct.
So, Feed the Birds. This is from the Sherman Brothers themselves. They recognized this as his favorite song. It was sung at his funeral, but actually Walt Disney would invite Richard Sherman to perform this song to him, like on request, like every Friday at the end of the work week.
Richard Sherman, isn't he a Seattle Seahawk?
No, you're just, Richard Sherman, Seattle Seahawk, not Richard Sherman, the famous brothers, living in the Sherman Brothers. But Richard Sherman would go to Walt's office and perform this every Friday. And to this day, he'll go to his office and play this for him on his birthday.
Aww. That's sweet.
It's because, and he's one of the only people that has a key to Walt's office, just so we can do this.
But he's frozen in cryogenic chamber. How would he hear it?
Oh, and one other thing. You know the that Disney special that came out right before the anniversary for Disney 100, that big like crossover thing they did? Did you hear Feed the Birds in there? That was a brand new version performed in Walt's office for the special.
Oh.
For the special itself that they did live for it, which I thought was pretty cool.
So. Did you just color on Mike's picture?
I had to cross them out somehow.
Okay.
All right. For $750,000, what star from the... What the... God damn it. What star from Glee, the TV show, was not on Broadway in their career? Would that be Lea Michele, who played Rachel, Amber Riley, who played Mercedes, Jane Lynch, who played Sue, and Jenna Uskowitz, who played Tina. If you don't know,
I would like to use a lifeline. Yes, I would like to use a lifeline.
Would you like to use 50-50 or me?
You.
Then your correct answer would be Amber Riley.
Okay, because I was going to say the other one. Okay, so I'm
going to
go
with
you.
Which one were you going to say?
Jenna.
She was in Spring Awakening.
Oh, see, I wouldn't have known that. So yes, Amber Riley, final answer. Not related to Blake Riley.
Different spelling.
However, Amber Riley was on Dancing with the Stars and won the Masked Singer.
Yes, and yes, you did. So,
oh, that's right.
Obviously, Lea Michele was in Spring Awakening as well.
Yes.
And she also was in recently in Funny Girl.
Yes.
Jane Lynch was in Annie while on Glee. She did both. And also was in Funny Girl, but not the same time as Lea Michele. And Jen
Thank God.
Was in The King and I for a couple of years. Spring Awakening, like Andy said. And after Glee was in Waitress.
Oh, I heard Waitress was really good.
It's actually going to be in theaters soon. They're doing a ProCut.
Oh, really?
It already came out by the time it's aired, but like it's ProCut coming out, which is exciting. Amber Riley, by the way, does have some stage credit, but nothing on Broadway. By the way, I didn't realize that Jane Lynch was never on Broadway before doing Annie. She was never on Broadway, which surprised me. That one really surprised me. So, all right.
All right. You have only one lifeline left and one question left.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
For $1 million.
$1 million.
Which of these men had to audition to be cast in the hit ABC show Boy Meets World? Ben Savage, Corey, William Daniels, Fihihihini, Lee Norris, Minkus, or Ryder Strong, aka Sean.
All right, let me use my 50-50 because I might as well. I was looking at.
So wait, just because people need to are hearing this.
Oh, right, right.
Uh-huh. That took off William Daniels and Ben Savage, which leaves Lee Norris, Minkus, or Ryder Strong, Sean.
I want to say Ryder Strong.
Okay, so Sean, Ryder Strong is your final answer?
Yeah, because people named Lee are just weird.
He means L-E-E in case L-E-I-G-H, a.k.a. my son's godmother is listening.
Yes, Lee. She's
proud to be weird.
But he didn't mean it in a good way.
That's true. Okay, but I'm
there's good weird, there's good weird, and then there's like lick the windows on a little yellow school bus weird.
You know what good
and
weird
that's
is
where spending, he was going.
And you know what good weird is spending your night doing a game show on a podcast? Anyway.
Ryder Strong is his final answer. Press the button, monkey boy.
Yay!
So, as per, this actually came up on Tommy Drill. The Tommy Drill, the podcast is currently on. The show, by the way, was originally called the Ben Savage Project. Tommy Drill, that was his real name.
Oh.
And the first person after him was cast was William Daniels. He was the first person cast.
Oh.
Ryder and Daniel Fishel had to audition. Daniel wasn't even the original Topanga. Ryder had to audition to be Sean. He was not even the original best friend, which is crazy when you watch the first few episodes of the show. Lee Norris was literally called up on the phone and said, "We have a role for you. Do you want to come on the show?" Didn't have to audition whatsoever for Minkus. And said, "Sure, it's yours." Oh man, so that is it. And you and another person to sweep the board with absolutely no assistance whatsoever from anybody else. It's not a lifeline whatsoever at all.
It was completely fair and square for anyone who is listening at home.
Absolutely fair.
I'm a millionaire!
It's Bitcoin, sweetie.
I'm a thousandaire!
Wait, excuse me, what's that? This just in, our budget has been cut. The budget was stolen with my car.
Oh, again, honey, you can make that joke because it happened to you.
Exactly. So don't worry. I saw the guys that took Larry and your Bitcoin. You're just never going to see it again.
Oh my god. All right. That's it. Sal wins the game. He did not know we were coming into this. That's the best part. He didn't know what was going to happen when we started this.
No clue.
Oh man. And we'll hit my outro, which I had to go to the Muppets Christmas Carol and go with It Feels Like Christmas to close the show out here on Christmas week. And Sal, why don't you take us away and we'll get out of here.
For more information on our non-cheating show, including where you can find us on social media, or watch the show on YouTube to watch me not cheat, go to theblakeandsalshow.com. Please, don't forget to comment or leave a rating and review, and we will read it on the show.
First of all, thank you, Mike, for coming on and hanging out with us and just kind of watching this bizarre show go on as we were going on here.
Not a lot of things that I have a lot of knowledge on, so I might not have been the best. But you know what? I was here. I was moral support. I was rooting them on half the time.
Exactly.
You were.
The other half was like, whatever.
What the fuck is going on? Wait, who's the hurricane?
I had to look it up. I'm glad that I wasn't on my phone for this, or else I wouldn't have been able to look it up.
Next week. There'll be a New Japan Wrestle Kingdom preview with me and Mark and Rich Fan finally making an appearance on the show this year.
We got
him under the wire. Got him in just under the wire this year. There you go. That being said, thank you, honey, for hosting this show today for us. This is a lot of fun.
She did better than me. She should host next year.
I have someone to proofread the damn board.
I was gonna say he needs someone to proofread the board because I knew it was gonna be bad as soon as he misspelled Layla Hirsch. And it just got worse from there because some of the sentences, I couldn't even read them.
Hey, he's got a Garfield education. Leave him alone.
Anyway, that being said, I'm like...
I have to say, I didn't marry him for his brains.
Right, you're the smart one in the relationship. You're definitely the smart one in the relationship. And you've been listening to the Blake and Sal Show without Mark. Have a good day, everybody.
Don't forget to support your local independent wrestling company and things and stuff, and see ya.
Everyone be nice to each other while I'm out with my girlfriend.
Oh yeah.
It feels like...
Thank you so very much. Goodbye. Mwah. And good night.
Bye-bye, bitch. Fuck them kids.